God still has big dreams for each of us, no matter how few years we have left.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Joseph, Jacob's favored youngest son, had a dream. Two related dreams, in fact, but when he recounted them to his family, he soon found himself on a road to trouble. Many of you know the story. But this evening, Pastor Brian Grant takes us back to that story to show how, despite years of desperate challenges and incredible obstacles, not only Joseph, but every believer can fulfill the amazing plan God has for their lives despite encountering those kinds of things that threaten to derail the dream. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Discovering Your God-Inspired Dreams.
Tim, John, and Myron were prison inmates who decided to dig an escape tunnel under the prison wall. That was a major enterprise. They were going to dig a tunnel under the prison wall. While they were digging, they discovered a very unusual metal canister. And as Tim rubbed it to remove the dirt, a genie appeared. The genie said, "This is your lucky day. I'm going to grant each of you a wish. And no matter how big your wish is, it will be granted." Tim quickly said, "I wish I were in Jamaica enjoying beautiful beaches and reggae music, eating mangoes and all the jerk chicken I can consume." Immediately, he was transported to Ocho Rios, Jamaica. John was next. He said, "I wish I were in Hawaii surfing, sipping Mai Tais, and eating all the kalua pork I desire." Immediately, he was on Waikiki Beach, Hawaii. It was now Myron's turn. But instead of making a wish, Myron started to cry. The genie was surprised and asked him what was wrong. Myron responded, "It's going to be so lonely without my friends. I wish they were all here." The words were hardly out of his mouth when suddenly they both reappeared. By wishing that his friends were still there, Myron had hijacked their dreams. It's okay to dream, but quite often people's dreams get hijacked. But when our dreams are God-inspired dreams, come on now, God will help us to experience them as we walk in submission and obedience to Him. And so today I'm using as my theme, discovering your God-inspired dreams. Believe it or not, there are certain things that God has is inspiring you and is prompting each of us to do. And I trust this morning we may have our hearts open to God's word. And so as the week progresses, as we reflect on God's word, we will have a sense as to what is God prompting me to do. What is God's plan for my life? Here's the first of the four things I'd like to share with you today. And you can add this to your notes. For those who are visiting, there's an insert in your bulletin to help you take notes. Here's the first of the four things I'd like to point out to today. God has big dreams for every Christian. People today are being told they can achieve whatever they dream. You want to be a doctor? They tell you can do it. You want to be a millionaire? You can do it. We're constantly being told, young people, that if you work hard enough, we can make all our dreams come true. It sounds good. But I've discovered that if a dog believes he can fly, no matter how hard he tries, he's going to have a hard time getting even 10 feet off the ground. For even the Australian kelpie did my research. The dog that can jump the highest is the Australian Kelpie. And this, the greatest jumper of all, can only get 9 feet. This is why I picked 10 feet. No dog can get to 10 feet. So write this down. We will not always achieve our dreams, but God-inspired dreams can be achieved, what? 100% of the time. Amen. Is that in your notes? God-inspired dreams can be achieved 100% of the time. For God is willing to equip and empower us to accomplish His dream for our lives. We will only fail because of our disobedience and refusal to obey and submit to God. Joseph had a big God-inspired dream. Turn to Genesis chapter 37, verse number 5. Genesis 37, verse number 5 reads thus, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. Then there we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. Your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.' And his brother said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed bow down to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." These were such big dreams. They made both his father and his brothers angry. But although it seemed very unlikely they would be fulfilled, God would empower Joseph to accomplish his plans in minute detail. And I just want to say, even as before we go any further, that my friend, God can do and use each of us to do some amazing and some great things. Regardless of our family background, some of us are being kept in check too much by our family background because we say God could not do this or that through me. But I thank God we serve an omnipotent God. Amen. He can do anything. As somebody said, he can do anything but fail. And my friend, God has big dreams for you. Listen to what God said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I think it may be in your notes. "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." My friend, God has big dreams for your life. So stop worrying about all the things that seem to be against you. Right now, all sorts of things seem to be against you. Sometimes the messes we have made in our life so far. Have you made a mess so far? Sometimes we think because of all this mess we have made in our life, God cannot use us to do great things. Probably because of our limited education, we think God cannot use us to do great things. But my friend, God has big dreams for each of us. Amen. God is more than able. Keep your fingers in Genesis 37 and jump with me to Ephesians chapter 3, a scripture verse that I often refer to. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where the word of God says, "Now to him," speaking about our great God, "now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." It's talking about our God, and it says our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And he's doing it according to the power that works in us. The power of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit. For those of us who know Him, the Spirit of God is in us. And God says He's able to do, based on the power He has placed within us, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. God is doing great things, hallelujah, and He wants to do some great things in each of us. My friend, it's not about our connections. Too often people are depending on their connections. Do you know who I know? And folks go around bragging about who they know. You ever met people like that? Well, do you know who I know? I know the Almighty God, amen. And He lives in me. I don't need an introduction. I don't need you to hook me up. Amen. I'm in contact directly with the Almighty God. It's not my connections nor my education. Hey, pursue a good education because God will use it. It's about God's power that works in us. And my friend, God can. Probably you're an older person and you're thinking it's too late to dream now. You ever run into people like that? There's a pastor, I wish I'd heard this message 30 years ago. But I'm 75 now. It's too late for me now. My time has passed. Really? Really? Are you alive? Shall I go alone and give everybody what is the test that you put under your nose, you know, to just check if you're still alive? Once you're alive. In fact, I remember hearing about some testimonies of people who were totally housebound and bedridden, and the incredible way God used them. They were such incredible prayer warriors that some of them could use their hands and they used them to pack things. But listen, make no mistake, if all you can do is pray. Do you realize that many of the brothers and sisters on the battlefield are being sustained by the prayers of sisters and brothers who can't even leave their homes? They're serving the Lord right there as in their prayer closet as they pray to the Almighty God. You know, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 16, it's a scripture that's hardly referred to. But Jesus told a parable about a farmer who needed workers for his vineyard. At about 6 a.m., the farmer hired the first batch of workers. At 9 a.m., he went and hired some more, but he wasn't finished. So get this now. Some guys are working from what time? From 6. Some of you are listening. Some are working from 6. Some were hired at 9. At noon, he hired some more. At 3 p.m., he hired some more. And then at 5 p.m., he hired a final batch. And the workday ended at 6. The last batch only had how many hours to work? 1 hour to work. Some had 1 hour to work. Some had worked what? 12 hours. But let's see what happened at the end of the day. Matthew chapter 20. Listen, God didn't put this in here for nothing. He had a reason for putting it in. We hardly reference the scripture, but let's look at it. Matthew's Gospel chapter 20, verse number 8. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call all the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last of the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed, the ones, remember now, those the 11th hour one were the ones at the end. But when the first came, they supposed they would receive more. We worked much more. They likewise received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the sun. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree to work for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is not that lawful for me to do? What I wish with my own stuff? Or is your eye evil because I'm good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. My friend, I hope you're getting this. Even if you may not have had, you may not have as many years ahead as these teenagers. Can we be clear? I don't have as many of them either. God still has big dreams for each of us, no matter how few years we have left. By the way, he's the only one who knows how many years we have left. Am I right about that? The God who called Moses at age 80 to lead the Israelites out of Egypt still desires to use you and me, whether we're 80, 90, 60, 50, or 15. God still has big plans for you. God can. So don't stop the excuses about your age and about your medical challenges. As long as there is breath in your body, let us all make a commitment to God today that, God, I will serve you for the rest of my life. I will give you all I have, all that I am and all that I have. I am committing to you. It's time for some of us seniors. Thank God we have so many incredible seniors in this church. But let's be honest, sometimes some of us are sitting on the bench. We're keeping everything warm because we figure we have done our part. No, you have not done your part. I will serve him until I what? Die. Or he takes me to heaven. First, God has big dreams for every Christian. But here's the second thing to put in your note. Don't lose hope if your dream gets hijacked. Don't lose hope if your dream gets hijacked. Some preachers claim that when we're walking in God's will, we will have such favor with God. He'll cause us to live a happy and carefree life without problems, heartaches, and challenges. But that's all baloney. For although Joseph's dreams were all God-inspired, his dreams were severely hijacked. Go back to Genesis chapter 37. Go back to Genesis chapter 37. And we pick up at verse number 12. I may scan through rather than read all the verses for sake of time. Verse 12, then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to Joseph, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley and he went to Shechem. And so somebody pointed him where they were. And verse 17, and the man said, "They have departed from here. I hear them say, let us go to Dothan." So Joseph went after his brothers. Verse 18, "Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him." Do we remember who these men are who wants to kill him? His brothers. Lord, please don't give us brothers like these. Now, let me just put a full stop there for a minute. Most of us, our brothers might try and kill us, or our sisters. But do you know siblings will try to hijack the dream of other siblings? They might kill you, but sometimes they will do everything they can to make sure I am up and you're down. When they saw him before he came near, they conspired. Verse 19, then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming." Everybody had ganged up. "Come, therefore, let us kill him, cast him into the pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." We're going to see. But Reuben had heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said, "Don't shed his blood. just cast him into the pit. All right? But Reuben intended really to come back and rescue him. No wonder God had a plan for Reuben later on. Verse 23, it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and look, there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our flesh. I'm amused when I read it. He is our brother, our flesh. Don't kill him. Let's sell him. So where was God when life hurts? Where was God when life hurts? When 17-year-old Joseph left home that morning, he had no idea he would spend the next 13 years in slavery. I don't want you to miss this point. When 17-year-old Joseph left his home that morning, he had no idea he would spend the next 13 years in slavery and in prison, and that he would not see his father again. Anybody, for how long? You know how long it was? 22 years. He would not see daddy again. The daddy he was so close to, he would not see him again for 22 years. Joseph's dreams had been severely hijacked. And it was his brothers who were the hijackers. Family sometimes will hijack our dreams. Sometimes they hijack our dreams through their negativity and their discouragement. You know, I've sometimes sat down at tables and I've heard a child, a son, a daughter say what they are thinking of doing. And I sit and I hear mom and dad tell them, oh, don't even bother that. You know, they talk them out of it because far as they're concerned, that dream is way too big. My young friends, don't let anyone talk you out of a dream that's too, just because it's big. Make sure, however, that this is a dream that God is inspiring and putting in your heart. Listen, for when God inspires you and plants a dream in your heart, pursue it, amen? Pursue it, pursue it. Now make sure, double check and make sure this is really God speaking and not your pride. Because sometimes pride makes me, I want to be like Mike. So everybody was back in the Michael Jordan days. Everybody wants to be like Mike, and everybody's trying to play basketball like Mike. But I came to find out that even though a lot of people were trying, there was what? Only one Michael Jordan. Am I right about that?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.